If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Adventuring Inward, Beyond the Body, Ego Mind, World, Through the Tenth Door. So, if you're ready to venture inward and find that door that leads beyond body consciousness, ego mind identification, and the world that we dream we see. If you're ready, if that's what you want, tonight may be your opportunity to manifest that for yourself. So I'm going to arrange this sharing this evening so that we do the actual process just before the close of the show. So that if you do go through that tenth door, you don't have to come back and be present to listen to anything else. You can just stay in that experience. Some of you listening are in places in the world, perhaps, where you're in the daytime. I'm here in California on the Pacific coast, where it's going into nighttime. So you can adjust the listening of this seminar to suit you so that it works for you. But we will be having an out-of-body experience, or beyond the body, should I say, experience, towards the closing of this seminar. So if you're in a position where you can accommodate that for yourself, that will be probably the best for you. So let's start with taking a deep breath and calling yourself forward through your divine spirit, through the soul, through the higher mind. Flood the lower mind with that divine light. Bring it down into the brain. Flood it throughout the nervous system. Flush your chakras with this soulific light. And flood every cell of your being with the divine radiance of your perfect, whole, and holy self. That immortal being that you are, that has never been born, that could never die or cease to exist, that has never at any time been held captive by the body, the ego mind, or the world. But through indoctrination has taken on the coloration, let's say, of ignorance, of those who have taught and have convinced through many lifetimes that this is the, quote, real world. But we are awakening beyond that worldview, beyond that rhetoric, beyond that conditioning that we have absorbed in life after life. And what is actually occurring is the dissolution of the world, the dream world, the third-dimensional, physical, dog-eat-dog, mean-spirited world, along with all of the beliefs and thought forms that have held it intact. It is our time to awaken and venture beyond. And so that's what we're going to do. So, as you have called yourself forward and flooded your physical envelope with your presence, with your being, just take a general assessment, if you will, of where you are right now, present state. And to just scan yourself and notice where there is the slightest little sense of unhappiness, the slightest little sense of disquietude. That need not be. That somewhere you have made the unreal real to yourself. And just take a deep breath and quietly dismiss it as not the world you choose to see. Just let it go. And ask that your vision be corrected to see with the Holy Spirit rather than with the ego. It's a choice we make. The world we see is the world of our own making, and we have the power and authority and the ability to unmake it as well. It will be there as long as we wish it to be there, and when it no longer is the world that we choose to see, we will choose to see with spirit and learn to see a world illumined by innocence, a completely innocent, completely loving and lovable world. So let's chant Hugh a few times to signify that we not only are opening our mind to the spiritual flow, but we're calling it forward and present to work with us, to work through us, and to lead us inward, beyond body consciousness, beyond ego mind interpretations, and beyond the world which has seemed to terrorize and victimize us, but is no more than an uncorrected, unhealed mind that is now being corrected. Take a deep breath. And that is the mantra that you can use as you venture inward, unless you've been given an initiatory tone or a mantra. But the hue is, actually it's very sacred to many, many different peoples throughout the world, and it is only given in secret and orally by the head, the chief, the leader, in many, many tribes in Africa. It's a very, very sacred mantra, but it is known in all the world faiths. It has a corresponding utterance in practically all the world religions. And now we are beginning to use it very much as it's becoming more known throughout the world, but it is the closest approximation that we could physically utter that reflects the quality of that divine source that has no name, no form, and is beyond all possible conception and description. We could call it the it of itself. We could call it that which is. But really, that's about as far as we could go. So when we speak of God, we're not speaking of the many, many gods that we have either created out of our mythologies or have invented out of our ego minds that are judgmental and have the same violent emotions of the people that create these gods. We're speaking of that, which again is beyond description, but which is the all that is and the nothing that is at the same time. So when we look at the physical body, the body has been likened to a clay pot with 9 holes. The 9 holes referred to consist of the 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, 1 mouth, and the 2 excretory organs. Now these organs all take in the things of the outer world. Earth, wind, fire, water, ether. They ingest and excrete. They process whatever has been taken in and build within the lower worlds of these substances. And what we have taken in has pretty well been the way that we have defined ourselves and the world. All of these things are indigenous to the earth element, so to speak, and the subtle realms that involve the material universe and the material earth itself. You might say within the aura of the physical planet and the physical universe, we have circled and recycled again and again. But look for yourself if you care to, and observe how just about everyone identifies with their physical body and what they see and listen to. But if you examine any time in history, you'll observe the same pattern of identifying with one's physical body and whatever one sees and hears. Only the prevailing social climate and established moral customs vary from age to age. But life after life, the pattern repeats until one feels one is captive to this world, that one is somehow held in bondage to this world, which is an illusion, a complete illusion. But as long as we identify with the body, with the contents of the separative mind or ego mind, and with the world as it seems to appear, we will keep from age to age repeating embodiments here. Body, mind, and world could be regarded as one in essence, for if one is present, the other two will surely be present. With the birth, let's say, which is really an illusion, with the erroneous idea of separation, the mind that we call the ego mind was born. Out of that, the body was projected, and out of that, the world was projected. And so the only thing we're here to do is to simply awaken to what we've always been. We're not trying to become enlightened. We're not trying to become liberated. What we're trying to do is simply end the belief that we are a separate, limited, bound human being. And that's why we meditate. That's why we do whatever we do to try to get somehow an experience beyond the world, beyond the body, beyond our thoughts. So what we need to realize is that up until now, we have been allowing our past memories, our habits and experiences to automatically dictate and direct us. And thus, the past just keeps repeating life after miserable life. We felt that we were held captive in this world, where we were victimized and terrorized at every turn. But you know, there does come a time when you get sick and tired of this whole shenanigan scenario, and you begin to say there's got to be something more. And a hunger and a desperation and a sincere earnestness begins to stir. And you begin to yearn for something beyond the daily gruel. There must be something else. And when one reaches that point, the master appears in some manner, through a book, a dream, a wise friend, maybe this radio show. But somehow the light is presented and the journey begins. And our mind will be brought under our scrutiny. And we will be guided to attune our thoughts to the divine wavelength. We will be shown how to discern the thoughts that are ego and the thoughts that are divine. And out of that, we will be shown how to enter the 10th door. Jesus told us in A Course in Miracles, you believe you are responsible for what you do, but not for what you think. In truth, you are responsible for what you think, for only at this level is choice possible. You must change your mind, not your behavior, by placing what you think under my guidance. And that's Jesus operating as our elder brother and a co-equal son of God, no different than you and I. So the 10th door has been called the Agnya Center. It's been called the Tisratil, the third eye. You know, it's been called different things, the sixth chakra. It's not really the sixth chakra. It's more accurately the overlapping of the aura, the auras, of the pineal and pituitary glands, which forms a vesica pisces, and the overlapping of those two auras creates in the very center where they overlap that opening that we could call the 10th door. So all of the effort that you have put into venturing inward in the various ways that you've tried has not been in vain. It has helped to create that relationship between the pineal and the pituitary so that they're co-resonating together. They're communicating, you might speak of it, as a form of inner communication that's been going on all the time while you were bumbling about trying to be a human and make this world work. So this is the door that Jesus and other masters have taught that leads to the kingdom of heaven within. You know, when the masters say you must go within, you must look within to experience God or to know the truth and so forth. That is what they mean, which is incredibly frustrating to most people. It's like, well, what do you mean? Like when Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, you must be born again. And he was very puzzled. He said, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? Am I to enter back into my mother's womb? And Jesus said, no. You were born by blood and water into this world. And you must be born again of the Spirit by blood and water. Now that has the absolutely most deep esoteric meaning. I have described it in Christian terms earlier as the blood of Jesus and the waters of baptism, which is the common understanding in the Christian understanding. But the deeper meaning is that we are re-spiritualized and remembered into the heart of God when we awaken. So that the crystalline blood, the blood becomes golden and crystalline and is filled with pyramidal sacred geometric structures that are transcendental in their operatives. The blood that we have now is iron-based. It's red. But the blood actually becomes transformed into a golden sacred geometric essence that is completely different when we have transfigured into the Christed being that we truly are meant to be, that we're truly spoken forth by the divine word to articulate into time space as that living word. And the water that constitutes most of the physical body and the brain becomes completely structured again with those divine patterns that we could liken to the tree of life. The metatronic codes of living light transforms the very water in ourselves, in our blood, in our brain, so that what we're speaking of is a corpus Christos, a transfigured, resurrected, ascended, illumined body of living light. And yet it's not a body such as would limit us. For it goes beyond time and space and all of that. So what must we do to be born of the Spirit? Well, first of all, you have to want it with all your heart, mind, and soul. It's got to be more important than watching the World Series. It's got to mean more to you than keeping yourself constantly busy with non-essentials. Consider your day and what you've put your energy into and how much of that is going to matter 10, 15, 50 years from now when most of you won't be on the planet again. Most of you won't be here in 50, 60, 70, 80 years. In 100 years, no one on the planet and nothing will be here. So how much of the effort you put into today is going to matter in terms of what we're talking about here? So you have to want this, because you will continue seeing the world just as you're seeing it for as long as you want to see it, as long as you value spending time watching sports more than spending time venturing inward. Now, I'm not saying you can't enjoy these things, but I'll tell you that you really begin to enjoy the things of spirit a lot more than the silly pastimes of people becoming hysterical over a ball being tossed here and there or kicked here and there. You know what I'm saying? We have to be very, very hungry to know truth. Otherwise, we can be content to keep going around the block again and again and again and again. Again and again. It's like a roulette wheel because you don't know where you're going to land in your next incarnation. You could be a king or a political figure today, a president or whatever, and be born a coolie, a beggar in Bangladesh in your next life. You don't know. You don't know. You have no idea where your actions today will end you tomorrow. So I would say it's time to think seriously about what you want your life to be about, what you want to invest your time and your attention and your focus on. Because right now it's our collective prayer to awaken beyond the violence and pain of this present system of things, this present nightmare, to a world transfigured and transformed by love, and living in the kingdom of heaven now, which is more accurately called the higher consciousness of soul. So it's a collective awakening that's occurring on a planetary scale, and it's affecting all life forms. But we are corporately experiencing the collective plug being pulled on all of our craziness, our destructive madness. Quietly, the divine presence has covered us all with a blanket of grace, and we are being gently awakened beyond the tumult. That is, if we want that. So the divine answer to our prayers always presents as a restoration of peace. That is what you always notice when there is a response from the divine. There's always a form of peace. So peace is the indication that the Holy Spirit has entered our worldly imagination, our worldly scenarios, and our worldly deluded mind. And sometimes we feel absolutely helpless to do anything about our craziness. And that's good, because we have to come to the point where we realize we really need help to get out of this tail chasing, these habitual patterns that we just, regardless of how much we want to get out, seem to be repeating. And that's where the blanket of grace and the entrance of the Holy Spirit has come to bridge where we fall short, where we feel inadequate, where we are inadequate, quite frankly, to do anything about anything. So what is the most baffling to most of us is that this process of transformation, although it requires our wanting it, actually requires nothing of us individually but the willingness to accept, like a little child. It's being offered to us, and we need to come to it with the innocence of a little child, without the need to understand or to do anything at all but trust and accept with calm assurance. Be aware, there's nothing to understand. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to think about. There is nothing to pay attention to about anything that's going on in the world other than to recognize it is not real and to keep turning to the Holy Spirit that can show you the difference between what is real and what is unreal. It speaks from within you, not as a voice, but as an inner knowing, an inner intuitive sense and grasp that just shows up when you ask sincerely. It just becomes available as that knowing when you ask. So people are going through many, many things now. Many things. They're feeling a loss of purpose. Suddenly there's nothing that seems to be happening within or without. It's like the razzle-dazzle is suddenly dimmed and become lost. The things that gave you that impetus and that desire to engage and be involved and all of that, it's just suddenly been muted. Many people just want to sleep or turn off or quit trying to figure out things mentally, because when you try to think too much, it actually hurts your head. We have a certain mental fatigue now when we try to get too mental about things. In fact, if you have a lot of headaches, guess why? You think too much. There's also an emotional dullness that seems to be setting in, and a strange detachment towards people and things that once one really felt quite strongly about. So trying to think and to generate former emotional and mental vivacity is meant by this kind of non-responsiveness within yourself. And many people find that very difficult, very trying right now. It's like attempting some physical endeavor and finding one simply has no strength left. As I said, the plug is being pulled on all these old paradigm momentums. It's as if the former mental and emotional responsiveness have simply been exhausted. They've run their course. And the sense of time is shifting so much. At times, one's mind seems to flip all over the timeline. With historical periods one has once lived in seem to be resurfacing briefly to be replaced by another and another, until sometimes you feel like your mind is a merry-go-round, you just can't keep track of all the strangeness that's happening within the consciousness now. Old memories arise and then disappear like waves on a stormy sea. Sometimes one may feel like Rip Van Winkle, awakening after a century-long slumber to find no one he knew still living, and everything changed. I had that happen, and it left me feeling very disoriented, and somehow in the wrong time, the wrong place, the wrong everything. Kind of like getting in your body backwards, which I've had happen too, and maybe you have as well. So there can be a feeling of such deep immersion in one's own inner state that time vanishes, the world vanishes. You forget what day, what date, what time, unless you work. And then too, that can be a problem. And sometimes one seems insulated in one's own world. I happen to be that way, but I'm insulated in a very beautiful world. I've gone through that 10th door. But for most, there is no desire to go and do anything, and that's strange for many people, particularly if you're young, you know, and you're used to going. Now, you may, you know, really relish coming home and not having to do anything. So intrusions become almost unbearable for some of you, such as sudden interruptions by people visiting or unexpected phone calls or any demands to do this or that. And there is more and more of a sense of withdrawing from anything that demands more expenditure of one's time, focus, and energy. And many of you will really judge that and think you're, you know, you'll make a case against yourself. And I would advise that you don't. Don't judge what's going on because you don't know what's going on. And what we're being told by the masters is that this is part of the transition period into this new paradigm, into this new world that we're moving into. So this inner transformation seems to be taking all the energy that we have. And yet at the same time, it's all occurring inwardly. It's involving our own inner orientation and state of consciousness. So it has nothing to do with your physical body. It has nothing to do with your mind. It has nothing to do with the world. It's the work of the Divine Spirit, transforming you from within. And at the same time, it seems to be physically exhausting. At least that seems to be what we're experiencing. So accompanying this curious exhaustion for no apparent reason, one may also be experiencing a purging and cleansing going on physically. Formerly stuck energies are being released, sometimes in very vivid and very strange ways. And for each person, that can take different forms. This cleansing and clearing process seems to involve the releasing of deeply hidden stress, trauma, resistance. And this can be indicated by gastrointestinal disorders and clearing, often accompanied by headaches, pressure in the head, and such things as that. General aches and pains and flu-like symptoms can also arise. Some healers have described this form of clearing as energy flu or ascension flu. I don't buy into the whole flu scenario thing. I think that's a thought form that we would do much better just dismissing quietly as something totally unnecessary for any of us to experience. But just saying, that's how some healers have defined some of the things that people are going through physically. So the entire electromagnetic field is being adjusted to source the higher neutral energies of the soul. The soul is a joyous being, but it also doesn't care at all about anything that's going on in the world. It just doesn't go there. It lives in that divine neutrality, which we could call the scalar energy, which is now replacing the polarized energy both within and without. So all things, according to Jesus, a quote again from the Course of Miracles, all things are working together for good There are no exceptions to this except in the ego's judgment. So tell that to yourself when you get into those places where you're really confused or things are happening that are not to your liking or preference, that all things are working together for your good. There are no exceptions to this except in the ego's judgment. So we're going to go into our process now. I'm going to give you a little bit of guidance. And then you can take it where you will. And you can do this again and again. It's not a one of. But we're simply giving you the excuse and the encouragement and the direction to go for it. Go for adventuring through the 10th door, beyond this world and this body, and your thoughts, and everything you thought you knew or understood. And enter like a little child, complete humility. Well, child doesn't need to be humble because it's innocent. So forget the humility. Just come like a child and you'll have the whole deal. For such is the kingdom of heaven, is that childlike innocence. So we're being taught to think and decide with divine reality, rather than the chaotic confusion of the ego and its projected world view. So in entering the 10th door, that is the only door that leads out of the body and the body's world. The body and the world again come together with the mind, the separated mind that invented both. So when one is initiated by a spiritual traveler, which is one who has traveled through the 10th door and beyond, that 10th door is opened, usually at the time of initiation, and sometimes it is experienced then, and sometimes not. But it is often experienced by the initiate at that time. So many of you who listen to these seminars have been initiated in previous lifetimes, if not this one, and may already have the 10th door open, or at least ajar, and may have come in with the spiritual eye to some extent functioning. But they may not have learned or been taught how to move through that doorway into the inner kingdom beyond the physical dimension. Usually when you go for meditation, you're taught to sit still, repeat your mantra, and observe your thoughts, or attempt to stay focused upon either one's mantra or one's breath, right? And that pretty well defines the gist of most meditations that are taught, especially here in the westernized modern world. These passive meditations are great if you want to lower your blood pressure and quiet your mind, release stress and anxiety, improve your physical, emotional, and mental health and well-being. That's what those passive meditations will do. However, they don't show you or take you beyond the physical body, the ego mind world, which still holds you captive when you get up from your passive, mindful meditation and go out, you know, and do your day. Now, when you have experiences of illumination, when you keep going through the tenth door, in and out, in and out. And you began to build more of an attachment, more of a reality, more of a, let's say, familiarity with the inner world rather than the outer. Each time you build in something that you do not fall back from, once you have heard the living word, the sound current, you will never, never, never forget it. It's unforgettable. Once you have truly seen beyond the physical, you will never slip back into believing that you're a body or believing the separative thoughts that the ego mind brings up. You won't be fooled. You will have that illumined mind that thinks with God, that thinks in complete congruency, complete harmony with reality, and can co-create with God in these divine realms beyond. And so, take a deep breath and center yourself and ask for the presence of the spiritual traveler, the Master. To take you beyond where you've been, for whatever is your next step spiritually. To reveal to you what you're ready now to see. What you're ready now to embrace. Let go of trying. You know, the bridegroom comes and carries the bride across the threshold to her new home. So using that metaphor, once your intention is strong to move through the tenth door, then you step back and you allow yourself to be carried by the Divine Beloved into your new home. Actually, it's the home you've never left, but it will be new to you now. So the most important thing is to set your intention. When you sit down to do your spiritual exercises, and when you're getting ready to go to sleep at night, set the intention and ask to be taken by the spiritual travelers through the tenth door and into the realms of the soul and God realms beyond the physical. Set that intention. And then that sets the tone for what will happen to you when you leave your body. And of course, if you happen to be listening from a hospice or a hospital bed, or in some other condition where you are anticipating the departure from your physical body fairly soon, this is how you set your intention to have a conscious and a happy and a joyful and blissful passing into the next world. Because the passage from the body into the next world, however you do that, should be a very joyous releasing into a world of great loving and great beauty. So if you happen to be ministering in a hospice situation, this is also a good exercise to do with your patients. Some of you that listen are clergy that work with people who are transitioning, and many of you are teachers and counselors. So to see inwardly, you have to have a calm, quiet approach. Your eyes and your brow need to be calm, quiet, gently focused without trying to see anything, without strain, in other words, without effort. Be very cool, nonchalant, so to speak. You will keep chanting your initiatory tone or your mantra in your mind silently, or the hue. If you try to look directly at whatever shows up inwardly, it will vanish. So you'll have to, again, hold that very calm, kind of an oblique, gentle gaze. And just stay calm and allow whatever you are ready to see to gently open up to you. There's an opening as you kind of hang out in that cool space. There will be an opening, a presentation to you. It's our ego mind's greediness to experience psychic phenomena that will block entry to these divine realms. No ego can go through the 10th door. The ego is whenever we desire to achieve enlightenment for ourselves, you know, apart from wanting to be of service and enlightening others, or when we desire to develop cities or spiritual powers or psychic powers or to control and manipulate anyone or anything. Anything for the personal self is simply the ego tempting you. Beware of the ego's tempting. Wherever there is a desire to benefit one's own personal, separative self. Those will keep you right out of these higher realms. So quietly close your eyes. And I will very softly chant the hue as we close the show, or the anti-hue. And just keep going with your process. Let it be what it's going to be for you. Close your eyes. Very gently look at the black screen inside your head. Imagine that your whole conscious self is sitting in the center of your head, like a golden Buddha. And as you gently gaze at the black blank screen, chanting very softly, just be aware of what is there. The door often looks very much like a dark corridor with a lighter, very subtle ring around it. Sometimes it's blue with a golden ring around it. It looks like a dimensional portal of some kind. Some may see what looks like an eye. If you see an eye, go right through the pupil. Some may see a purple light or orb, or what looks like a blue pearl or a star. Some might see a white star. And some of you who have visualized the Inner Master and given a lot of attention to seeing the radiant form of the Inner Master, the Master may appear in that opening. Right now, the Master is appearing, and he's reaching right into your third eye and taking your hand. Step through the portal now. That's it. You're going with the spiritual traveler. With the beloved. That's it. That's it. You're going. You're going through it now. Keep going. You're walking down a golden pathway in a beautiful area lined with trees. You're walking down the path hand in hand with a spiritual master that you feel very closest to, that loves you beyond anything you could imagine. As you keep walking, you notice there is a sound as if there were many, many bagpipes playing. It's as if the sound is bouncing off the trees, and then you realize the trees themselves are making sounds. And the path upon which you walk is alive, and the flowers, trees, and the birds, the very atmosphere is filled with violins and woodwinds. A haunting flute that you can hear. It's like the dancing of a lamb in a beautiful meadow. As the tones cascade all around you, a living tapestry of light, beauty. And you're lifted, 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 and you find suddenly the atmosphere around you keeps opening, opening, opening into level after level of divine beauty. And the traveler is taking you to a temple of golden wisdom. Perhaps it is the one on Venus in the city of Retz or Sahasra Dal Kanwal the great city of Lotus Formation that many of us visit. And you will be shown what is right for you to know. And some of you will step very vividly into those realms. Some of you will dream into the realm. Some of you may be awake and asleep at the same time. But you will all experience adventuring beyond with a spiritual traveler. And your journey will never end. For there's always more in the realms of eternal life. And now we chant together with the trees and the travelers of all times. And the very rocks and the very landscapes around us. We chant the divine names of God. And we celebrate the everlasting unfolding of the adventuring soul that we are. On you. Namaste.